This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Postgame Show. I'm your host, Carlo Navas. And with me today, to my left, is producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Eating six or seven?
To my bottom, we have my homie, my good friend, producer extraordinaire, Alex Solana.
Eating seven.
There we go. Have the guts. To the bottom left, we have our professor of Photoshop and anime lover, Brass Jazz.
What's up, everybody? Heat in six. Still in.
Yeah, so, you know, I think going into this game, you know, expecting a win was optimistic. I think the effort given, the heart, the determination, the guts shown is important. And, like, let's listen, like, all jokes and memes aside, what they did today was all that you can ask for as fans. I mean, they... You know, and I don't like the loser talk about, oh, you know, we just don't want to get swept and this and that. Because, like, this is a franchise that's about banners, parades, confetti, champagne, and gold plating, right? This is not a happy-to-be-here franchise. This is not a franchise that puts up division banners anymore. You know what I mean? Like, this is a franchise that is a championship organization that's not just happy to be here. They want to win. And I think that... You know, we're not, our fan base is not, you know, we're not the Sacramento Kings or the Portland Trail Blazers, you know, that would just be happy to get to a conference finals or whatever, right? Like, they're in the NBA finals. And if we're going to talk, you're happy to be there. You know, we want max effort and we want to make this competitive and we want a shot to win. Now, Brass, they are going to have a chance to get at least Bam back for game three. And an 0-2 hole is... not impossible to climb back from. We've seen teams do it a bunch. Last year, of the Eastern Conference Finals, the team was down 0-2 and they came back to win the series in six, right? So it's not impossible to do it. I was very encouraged by what they did today. I think that the Heat threw a couple wrinkles offensively that I thought was interesting. They had a commitment to the zone. And I just think, man, they fucking played hard.
Yeah, I think that teams... often sort of have a short-term advantage when they're throwing out kind of funky lineups because it's very hard to look at the tape and know what the hell. I mean, we didn't know who they were going to be starting up until we heard the starting lineup. So that made a bit of a difference tonight. But I was really impressed with how the Heat kept it together tonight. Yeah, they had some real defensive hiccups. Offensively, they were really, really on point. And for the commentators on TV to give any acknowledgement of what the Heat are doing is, you know, do you take that as a win? I guess, you know, I'm mostly just kind of mad. Not that the Lakers are up 2-0. I'm mad that we got so close. And then, you know, I do think that this team with Dragic and Bam full health, I really, really truly believe that it would have been a really tight series, and we didn't get a lot of that in the first game. And I mean, I think Goran is going to be out. I just don't, even if he gets on the floor, I don't think he's going to be explosive. I don't have to make much of a difference, but Bam would have made a huge impact tonight. And I think that I really do believe that they would have taken this game if they had Bam on the floor. I mean, it's a situational thing. I get it. You know, a win is a win. I'm not like making excuses. Hi, Laker haters that are watching. But hate you too. Yeah, this is, you know, this is, you just got to deal with it. And I mean, this is the fucking NBA. I mean, Gianni, you know it more than anyone, what, you know, a fluky championship looks like.
Listen, Brass, you were making fun of me because you said, you know, once the Lakers, you know, if there's an asterisk title of injury, you know, I have to denounce the Raptors championship last year, which I will not. They damn well earned that against Steph Curry, man. By the way, at the top of the show, I kind of want to say something. So last show, you know, things got away from us a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about @Tim_NBA. Legit good dude. We called him names on the podcast that we shouldn't have. I hashed it out with him. I sent him a DM. He did not have to accept my apology at all. He was very gracious. He was incredible. You know, sports stuff aside, like, you know, we shouldn't call people names, especially people that we don't know, like that. And that there's no place in our community for what we said and how we acted. Just he's an incredibly gracious and nice person. And when we spoke, I felt even worse because I, you know, we insinuated things about someone that were just blatantly not true. He donates 20% of his website's revenue to Black Lives Matter causes. So it's a great cause. What Tim is working on. Tim has great information on his website. So just please go to the B-Ball Index. They have great numbers and great film work, and he's a great writer. And I just really want to apologize to him publicly, not just privately on DM and not just on Twitter, because I feel incredibly bad for everything we said to him. And I just really wanted to say that publicly because he's like legit a good dude.
One to that. Didn't he give you access to his site for free that you get to pay for?
He did. He's like, if you need any of those bad stats that I charged you before, I can totally give you access if you want. And I was like, stop being a good person. I was awful. Don't do this. I don't deserve this.
That sounds like an exceptional deal, though. You should take it.
Oh, my God. He's, listen, at Laker Exceptionalism is their podcast. They do great film work over there. So check that out.
And then two.
All over me.
Say that again, Ross.
Like, just what I need is Gianni to vomit more numbers at me. Oh.
Sports stats. True.
And then two, I finally learned what a Proud Boy was last night.
Not very good. Not good. Not something you should call people. Bad. Not something you should call.
I called Nikai stuff by accident.
I know. It's just bad. Just, you know, we should distance ourselves from that.
Sorry. Tim.
I didn't want to give that apology to Tim. He's a good guy. So we just wanted to say that and you know, everything. So kind of looking at the game and like what they did.
There's some good Spo quotes right now.
Oh yeah, Brian, damn. Can you read that? Because Spo just cursed in a press conference, and I like a spicy Eric Spoelstra.
Okay, he says, "quote We don't give a shit what anyone else thinks." There's actually more to this quote. That's part of Tim Rollins' thing. I'll try to get the rest. There's more.
He's great.
Here we go. Yeah. We don't give a shit what anybody else thinks. If you want something badly enough, you figure it out. I don't think it would have mattered man or zone. There was 8 to 10 possessions there where we didn't finish. It was a different look for our defense, but we didn't finish a lot of those plays.
I mean, there was a point in that fourth quarter where the Lakers did not score for 8 straight possessions. And I feel like when Miami really couldn't get enough offense going there, that's when they lost the game. And I see a lot of people in chat and a lot of people on Twitter, like KO is the big point of conversation right now, because in the fourth quarter, he just did not have it shooting the ball. You know, I'm sympathetic to him because he played very, very well offensively. And I think he competed a lot on defense. You're undermanned. It's Jimmy Butler and a bunch of dudes, right? It's Jimmy Butler, a guy that you were playing 500 ball with for 4 years. Two rookies, Myers Leonard, right? Just a bunch of dudes. And for them to win that game, they were going to have to make some home run plays. So it was going to have to be... If Kelly got a little daylight, which the Lakers have a very, very good defense. So if Kelly's going to have some space early in the shot clock, he's throwing it up because they kind of need that. And they need those to fall because you're not winning without those kinds of plays. Like you're not, you know, for as well as the Heat executed, for as hard as they played, you know, they're just the talent disparity is too much. They don't have the size. They don't have the versus like the know-it-all, right? So like Kelly has to kind of make those home run plays. And I understand why people are upset at him. You know, for the decision making. I mean, that third quarter, they had one turnover. They made all 11 of their free throws, and they were scoring like 1.7 points per possession. That's insane. They played fucking perfect offensive basketball that quarter. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not really like happy with the way people are talking about KO and everything, because I don't think it's particularly fair. I don't think
he kept you close in the third quarter period. I mean, what else can you expect? I mean,
1.77 points per possession.
And what do you want him to do? Like,
it's 37 minutes off the bench, guys.
It's not.
He scored 39 points on 22 possessions that quarter.
He was a -3 throughout the game. And like, he shot efficiently, 9 for 16, 3 for 7 for 3. I mean,
the
I
don't Heat, know what else. By the way, have still not lost a fourth quarter all playoffs long. They tied the fourth quarter 21-21.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
This fucking team, man, they're cool.
It's crazy because they had a chance to really come back and possibly tie that game towards the end. The Lakers went, 8 possessions without making a field?
Yeah, 8 possessions, empty. Can you do it?
That's what you wanted. That's exactly what you wanted on defense throughout the entire game. You wanted to stretch like that to, pull off a run. They just didn't have it in offense during the fourth quarter. There's actually audio that I think you guys should play. I sent it to Brass because I know we tried this before in one of our pre-shows where Brass could actually play audio and we could actually hear it. I don't know if Brass, you want to try this out, but there's some really good sound bites from Spo that I think would be fun for the listeners and us to react to.
Mail or Twitter?
Our Twitter chat, the Solomon Hill Fan Club.
So AC3R6 asks, do we think if Bam and Goran plays? Or I mean, I think Goran, we don't know. Goran says he really wants to go. I don't really know how he can. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend to understand how our plantar fascia tear functions. But Bam, it looks likely that he'll play game 3 or at least game 4. I mean, maybe if they're down 0-3, he might not play game 4. But I'd imagine that he's going to go on Sunday. I mean,
listen, if
I'd be surprised if he didn't.
I would too. And I think that if they can pull together, if they can go up, if they can make it 2-1 next game. I just think it feels a little different. And I mean they're still in it. You know? I mean, shit, we haven't played at home yet, guys.
Yeah. Series isn't over until the road team
until the road team wins.
Yeah, there you go. That's why.
Let's see if this audio works.
What is it about your group? You know, to watch Udonis talk to them in the third quarter, you know, you can see the passion and the resiliency in that guy's veins. Yeah. What is it about your group that can overcome what the world thinks is an impossible mountain?
We don't give a shit what everybody else thinks. Your first question, how did you phrase it? What will it take? Whatever is necessary. It's as simple as that. If you want something badly enough, you'll figure it out. And our group is extremely stubborn, persistent. And we just need to figure out how to overcome this opponent. And that we respect the quality, high quality of opponent that we're playing. You got to figure it out and overcome it.
My fucking coach, right?
Love it.
He sounds like Captain America.
That's my fucking coach right there.
I got chills.
I love that guy, dude. I saw someone on Twitter today say that Frank Vogel has outcoached Eric Spoelstra. And I'm like, in what universe? Are we watching the same series?
DeJet14 saying, who gives a fuck about the injuries? Go out there and play the finals. We might never get back there. I want you to go out and play with a strained neck, and I want you to also go out and play with a ruptured plantar fasciitis. And
they wanted to. They're
yes.
the ones that
I want you to try
Eric
and do
Spoelstra.
That, and then come back to me.
Eric Spoelstra said you're not playing because the decision was made by Spo. Spo said earlier pregame, he's like, no, those guys were ready to go, and I told him no.
According to Tim Reynolds, Spoelstra had to stop playing coach and actually start playing like a parent because he didn't want them to go out and make it worse.
You don't think Goran wants to be out there? And by the way, chat saying like you don't think an injured Goran is better than none. I mean, none was pretty fucking good today.
Yeah,
I don't know what more you want out of him. I think if limited Goran gives you what none gave you, I mean, you fucking take that. I mean, that dude was good today.
I don't care what you fucking say. None had the second greatest block of the entire NBA playoff.
Oh, dude, that was badass.
I have it right behind me.
Right, I know.
I felt bad that they didn't consolidate the block with the score because I was like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Dude had 13 points. 3 of 7, not very good. He was a neutral. He was a +0 or a -0, which I guess half glass full. The dude who struggled today was Duncan, right? And I don't want to talk so much about the dude who struggled, because we've talked a lot about Duncan, but I want to talk a little bit about Jimmy Butler. 25 points, eight rebounds, that's big. 13 assists, one steal, 7 for 17 from the field, 11 for 12 from the line, only 3 turnovers. Dude,
you missed one important stat.
Which one?
45 minutes.
Yeah.
Dude guarded everybody from LeBron to Anthony Davis. I fucking love that guy. I think that, you know, it's easy to kind of, I mean, not that NBA players are going to roll over, but I said a lot of times on the show that this team is not, they're not the Clippers. You know what I mean? They're just not. They're not built that way. They're not of that DNA. And for that dude to play that way in this moment really forced the issue. You know, I can imagine that the ankle's bothering him. He turned it twice. He looked a little slow. Dude was trying to get contact, was trying to get to the line. I'd imagine he was a little scared to shoot jumpers because if you fall the wrong way, that could be disastrous. And I think that was partly why we didn't see many. I mean, Jimmy took a couple jumpers. I know there was like 1-3 that he had to take because the shot clock was running out. There was that little turnaround he had off a timeout against, you know, LeBron. But other than that, I can't think of many jumpers he took. Dude is awesome. Dude was everywhere. And I love that guy. And I saw Twitter saying, if Paul George had this performance, I was like, get the fuck out of here. Paul George never did that. Paul George never put a whole franchise on his back in the NBA Finals when two of its three best players got hurt. What the hell are you talking about? Like, what? Are you serious? Are we comparing anything that Paul George has done to what Jimmy Butler just did?
Paul George got his coach fired because he blew a 3-1 series lead. I mean, let's go.
I got to go back to what the Jet 14 said about that, because who gives a fuck about the injuries? Go out there, play the finals, might never get back. Like, honestly, fuck out of here with that. Because, you know, let me ask you, Jet 14, do you earlier in the season, I assume you're a Heat fan. Who knows? If you are, did you expect the Heat to make it to the finals? Because it certainly wasn't this season you expected them to make it to the fucking finals, okay? It was very doubtful that you believed that. Yet we're here. So it's not like, oh, yeah, the Heat will probably make the finals, and this is like, oh, no, they did it this year, so they're not going to be able to do it the next year. I got news. This is not the final form of this fucking team, particularly if they lose. You know, they're not content, you know? And I do think they're probably going to run it back next year for the most part. But, I mean, going forward, We're very much in the fucking mix. I understand other teams in the league, you know, are going to be getting better. Brooklyn's going to be a lot better next year. You know, there are things, but like, we're here, man. And I think I fully support Spo's decision on having Bam and Goran sit this game, even as much as they wanted to, because I would much rather them come back. They kept it close. They showed a lot of good signs. You were getting really, really good minutes out of Kendrick Nunn, who really was playing like shit prior to this.
That's pretty nicely.
But Brass, like anybody questioning like this group's desire to be on the court, like, come on, that's just like, it's not even worth, like, really, it's not even worth fucking like breaking down. Like, you know how badly Bam and Goran want to be out there, and you know how badly Spo wants them to be out there. You know what I mean? So like, if they're not playing, clearly it's a serious issue, and like they truly just can't be out on the floor. Like anybody questioning their desire to be out there is a fucking clown.
Yeah. Yeah. And imagine going down 0-2 and then, you know, and then they're officially out the rest of the season.
Right.
And then,
right.
They miss, you know, first half of next season.
And Bam, like, once we find out it's a neck issue, like, come on. Like, that changes
things.
Right. It totally changes things. And Goran has a torn plantar fascia. Look it up. Everybody that's talked about that saying, yeah, he's not coming back. Like,
straight up. I love Dragic. I don't want him to see the floor the rest of this year. I just don't.
I agree. For what? Like, to come out and potentially have a, you know, worsen the injury, and he's going to be at an eighth of himself. You know what I mean? Like, for what?
It's not worth it. It was the size that really fucked us tonight. Like,
right. If Bam, I agreed with you. I agreed with what you opened up the show with. I couldn't have agreed more. If Bam plays tonight, AD doesn't go off the way he did, the rebounding discrepancy is definitely not what it was. And everybody's trying to get hung up on the offensive rebounds. Like, look, man, you're playing with Kelly Olynyk out there, who has to step out because of our zone anyway. So it ends up being either Jimmy, Iggy, Kendrick Nunn at times down low, trying to box out Anthony Davis. Bro, AD went off tonight. It is what it is. Like, it look like you got the stops at the end of the day, but when Anthony Davis in that second quarter, third quarter goes on these scoring stretches where doesn't matter what you throw at him, without Bam, you're not going to stop him. Yeah. Really, what do you do? Like, there's nothing you can do about that.
KO, by the way, 9 rebounds today. He's leading rebounders. So yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. Like, Slander was really stupid. Like, one of the only moments that I was just like, I was really kind of annoyed at, I think that in the fourth, they cut it to like 10 or something like that. And then, I mean, Kelly with like all the time on the clock, he pulled up this fucking 40.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't mind though. They got to hit home runs. They got to hit home runs, Brass. They're not going to win.
I know that. You know what I mean? But we were like, you know, starting to chip away, and just like that shot felt, you know, like I'm okay with like Tyler,
whatever, man,
trying to go. But again, he had a, listen, Kelly had a great,
Kelly was the best shooter on the floor for them tonight. He was shooting 40. He shot 40%. Him and Jay Crowder.
I was thinking, I do. There is a little bit of there's a silver lining to that. Like, let's say
3-for-7 KO.
Hypothetically, if the Lakers win the series. Okay. We are not going to see LeBron hoist the finals MVP trophy. So that's a victory for Miami.
That's loser talk. I don't care about that.
Oh, come on. That's just petty talk.
I'm not mad at LeBron. Like, the LeBron angle to this doesn't bother me as much as other angles to this.
Mr. Rogers, way to suck the fun out of that.
I'm sorry. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not like, the series isn't over. Like, I don't want to talk about the series being over.
Not
over.
So I said hypothetically, mother.
Hypothetically, it's not over.
I'll give you some petty talk. LeBron yelling just as much as fucking half the Celtics roster yelling every time they go up to the rim. There was an alley-oop that LeBron ends up converting. Duncan like tapped his elbow and LeBron flailed, yelled, and fell down on the ground. Like LeBron is really upsetting me this entire series because, bro, Bam is out. You have nobody to get in your way when you want to attack the basket, and you're yelling like if you're Jason Tatum. Like, get out of here, bro. LeBron's playing real soft. Really soft.
Also, like, Duncan, someone needs to put a mask on Duncan, because every time he breathes on LeBron, he gets called for a fucking foul in the series. So maybe that would cut down on that. Maybe.
I mean, it's Duncan on LeBron.
He just needs those tattoos, man. That's all it takes.
Yeah, Duncan needs a tattoo sleeve, like he said. I want to talk a little bit about kind of some stuff that he did offensively and defensively that I liked and that I think are going to bode well for them.
They have to keep the zone.
So I'm going
to get exactly what you wanted. You wanted the Lakers to basically try to shoot the lights out. They didn't. KCP and who else? Ron? Well, not Ron. Who was the other guard that shot really poorly? Danny Green shot the ball really poorly. And that's what you were hoping. You were hoping that
LeBron was 3-for-8. Danny Green was 1-for-8. Caldwell Pope was 2-for-11. Kuzma 2-for-6. Rondo's 3-for-4. That hurts you. Caruso.
They set the record for shooting the most threes in a finals game. I mean,
I don't think they should shoot that much. I think that once you're shooting that much on open threes, the variance is gonna hurt you.
Yeah.
So they kind of did that supercharge. But like I said earlier, like, you know, I'm not scared of Marcus Morris and these guys shooting threes. Like, if they're gonna shoot threes, like, whatever. Like, the problem is that they're also leaking points in the paint. So the help is just not good enough. So they're sending the help off the shooters, and it doesn't matter because AD literally didn't miss a shot for like the whole first half, right? Yeah. So the issue with that is that your help defense isn't good enough because you're leaking threes, and you're also letting AD get whatever he wants in the paint.
But that totally changes with Bam. Totally. Like, even Bam at 70%, that totally changes.
So the thing that the Heat did when they were guard, I mean, it's just hard for them to do man coverage, right? So like, they're kind of forced into zone because, you know, you have KO, like, once, you know, once the Lakers stop playing Dwight Howard, it becomes really tough for them. And I thought in game one, Miami was hedging a lot of pick and rolls, and they were hedging like shit. Like, it was just really weak hedging. It was just bad, and the Lakers tore that up.
Yeah.
I thought in this game, the zone was really good when like one of LeBron or AD's off the floor. right? Because especially if AD's off the floor, because then now LeBron's bringing the ball up and he's not put in the middle of the zone where he can kind of pass out of it and AD cuts baseline, right? So when LeBron's up top, you're really kind of stressing that entry pass, which he can make. But, you know, then all of a sudden it's up to KCP or Rondo or somebody to make a play, and you're going to live with that over LeBron doing that. And again, it's like you don't have good options if you're the Heat because Bam's not there, and you know that's your best. That's an all defensive player, right? He's a potential all defensive first team guy. Like, yeah.
I mean, what you like about the zone is that it kept you in the game because one, Lakers really didn't get into the foul line. They shot a total of 17 free throws. They made 10 of 17 of them. That's 58%. The Heat, on the other hand, went to the line 34 times. They shot 31 of 34, 91%. That's what kept them close.
But that's all Jimmy. That's Jimmy doing that.
I mean, Jimmy won 11 for 12. Hero was 6 for 6.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked enough about how great this team's free throw shooting got this.
Okay, so I want to interrupt because our friend Ryan Cortez just sent the stat in the chat. Jared Weiss of The Athletic tweeted out, "We'll have to parse through the tape to verify but Synergy had Miami playing zone just twice in game one. The Heat played zone on 72 of 95 possessions of Laker half court sets in game two. The Lakers scored on 30 of them, 41.2%, while scoring 14 of 23 possessions versus man, so on 60%. So Zone's working better than the man. We have empirical data, and Synergy does it with computers, so it's not tracked by hand. So, you know, the numbers get combed over time once people like have, you know, like eyes on it, and it's not just the computer data. But they don't have much of a choice without Bam. And if we remember, in the regular season, their defense wasn't very good, right? And it was a product of they were able to switch a ton of stuff with Iguodala and Jay Crowder and Bam and everything. And without Bam, you can't switch to the ball handler as easily when he gets put in pick and roll, right? So if LeBron has AD screen for him, you know, if it's Myers, all of a sudden you're dropping Myers and LeBron's going with a head of steam and Myers has no chance. And if it's Kelly Olynyk, you know, we saw LeBron bully Kelly, and there's not a lot of leeway there. And their guards are not good at going over screens. I mean, I was tweeting from the Heat beat account, Kendrick Nunn is going over a screen against Kyle Kuzma. And I'm like, come on, man, it's Kyle Kuzma. He's curling to go to the rim. Just go under. Like, he has a size advantage regardless, so maybe he scores. But, like, Jesus Christ, Kendrick. And he goes over screens so inefficiently and so poorly. It's like, I don't know, it's just really frustrating on that sense. But, like, their defensive game plan, I think, needs a little work. But I think mostly it gave them enough chance to win if they hit a couple more threes. I know that it's asking for a lot because they shot like 38% from three, but you're going to need to shoot in the 40s without Bam and Goran. There's just no way. Offensively, the little wrinkle I liked today was Jimmy Butler doing the dribble handoff sets, acting as the big. I thought that opened a lot for them. I thought they got him rolling to the rim a lot. There were a couple possessions where even though he missed a layup, got his own miss and put it back in. So Tyler is really good when Jimmy's man steps up on that handoff to take away the pull-up three. He's been very, very good at that little dump-off pass, and all of a sudden you have Jimmy in space. So he can short roll, spray it to the corner if Jay Crowder's weak side, if Andre's weak side. And they got like two really, really good positions at the end of the game where they ran that action. They got Jimmy rolling. The first time he went right at LeBron and scored on the layup, and then the second time the help came off of Andre Iguodala from the corner, and Jimmy on the short roll, bam, darts it to Andre. He hits that three. Without Bam, that's kind of what you have. I mean, usually that's Bam in that spot, but in this case, they were using Jimmy. And I think that's the only thing I can be kind of critical of Spo for. Like, I think that they went to kind of Jimmy screening a little late, because the more that you involve AD and their bigs in those plays, the worse it's going to be for you. So I think if you get Tyler, Duncan, and Jimmy screening, and as long as LeBron's not in that play, I think you take it. So that's kind of where I'm at. That's like kind of the only real like big criticism I have of Spo, but I liked what they were doing offensively given their limitations.
Did someone say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for gold, and our partners Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts. You've counted on restaurants all your life. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings the food that you've been craving right to your door. Ordering is really easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and the food will be safely delivered outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, anything. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery as well. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on the way. Right now, our listeners get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order on $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you use the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget the code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
I thought it was fine.
So
I don't know what
Vinheim makes good point. The Heat won 50-49 today.
Really?
Yeah, 50.
No, they did. They did shoot 40% from three.
They shot 40.7% from three. 11.
Did they shoot 40.7%? I thought they shot 38. Oh, you're damn right. Good for you guys.
Yeah.
Huh.
They did pretty much everything you could ask them to do on offense, with the limitations that they had. I mean, obviously, the fourth quarter, you want them to score more than 21 points.
You need more than 11 threes, though. That's the thing. I said you got like. I made the joke, like, you got to shoot 50 threes. Like, obviously, that's, like, too many. But, like, they put up 27 threes. It's just not enough. And part of that is the Lakers' defense. And I got to say something, and I don't like saying this. I was wrong about the Lakers in a lot of ways. But the thing I was most wrong about, and I think a lot of us, like, basketball-y, you know, stat-head people, you know, we're, like, you know, we're fucking obsessed with the three-point line and everything. The regular season, you know, the teams that were the best at defense were leaking threes. The Raptors, the Bucks, right? So those are two. And the Lakers didn't. But in the playoffs, the Lakers have done a great job of taking away shooters, right? Like, they, Alex Caruso, for all the shit I gave him, not scared of him as an offensive player, but that dude goes over screens very, very hard. I made fun of him for not being Wes Matthews or Chris Middleton or Eric Bledsoe, and he's not. But he's very, very good at doing it. He's bothered the Heat. That's very effective. I mean, they gave Duncan hell, KCP as well, going over screens. And the way that they defend the three-point line is incredibly important and impressive, especially in the playoffs, because if you're going to take that away from teams that modern offense is built around, you know what I mean? It becomes tough. In the regular season, you have more of a variance. So, like, the Raptors and the Bucks are bleeding quarter threes, right? Because that's just the way that they play defense, and they're really stressing the strong side of the ball and everything. And then, you know, teams kind of swing it, and the math just works out in your favor. But in the playoffs, when you have these small sample sizes, this is not how it works. And I don't like it, but I have to admit that I'm impressed with the way that they've done the defense, and that's a huge credit to Frank Vogel. So I got to give credit where credit's due. I just can't be to Mr. Petty all the time, but I don't like that team. I don't like Caruso. I don't like Kyle Kuzma. I don't like Markieff Morris or all those fucking people. But, you know, it's good. I don't know. You know, I credit where credit's due, you know?
Agree to disagree.
Man, I want to kind of get into this. Like, Lakers Twitter, like, really hates me. But that thing is funny. Like, aside from the other stuff about Tim, which we cleared up, I mean, they just don't like my takes in general. Like, they just hate my basketball takes. And I, you know, our pod went a little viral for me saying that I'm not scared of Kyle Kuzma. And I was getting made fun of the way I said Kuzma. Like, they were just giving me the double O or whatever.
What'd you call his eyebrows?
I said his stupid eyebrows.
No, you called his eyebrows something else.
I don't remember, man. I was just in the moment. And, like, I think it's, guys, like, Alex, you've known me for a long time, man. Like, you know, I don't take any of this shit seriously.
Yeah, but Lakers fans are fucking losers, and they are taking
Mad at Stu Gotts. They're mad at Stu Gotts.
For the UD comment.
What? They're taking shit that fucking
Why are the Lakers seriously mad? I mean, you guys should be happy. You're up 2-0 in a series where the Heat have literally three.
They're mad at me, and they're mad at Stu Gotts.
And you
I
have
like that.
What from us?
You have LeBron and AD. Like, just shut up, man. You just,
bro, they fuck Alex. I mean, you saw the Reddit, the thread, and the Twitter cop. Like, okay, the Tim stuff is one thing. You guys have a total right to be mad at me for that. The basketball stuff, I was like, come on, man. Like, geez. Oh, and the other thing, because I was making the joke that I said I was forged in the darkness, whatever. I don't fucking talk like that. Like, that's clearly a joke.
I did
Instead
see
I
that
in my mother's basement. I was like, that's not fair. I live in my father's house, not my mother's. How dare you?
I did see that your little rant, like your 15-second rant about the Lakers went viral on NBA Reddit, and just people were not happy. Like they
hate me.
Yeah, they do hate you.
I hate me. Laker fans, you don't hate me more than I hate me. Okay, the self-loathing runs deep. It's just funny because, like, man, I don't like they're making fun of me for the anime YouTube channel. I go, oh man, you think I haven't heard this before?
Can't we just go back to ripping Tim NBA or whatever the fuck his name
nah,
is?
Nah, Tim's a good guy. Tim's cool. But, like, I just think it's funny that Laker fans were just really upset at my takes. I don't think they're bad takes either. I mean, do you guys think that these people are good shooters?
My favorite comment was this guy who basically quote tweeted your entire bio on Twitter saying bad basketball takes, worse tennis and soccer takes. And then he goes on and says, can't say it and warn us.
I get that one a lot. That's actually funny. There was another one that it's like, if you want serious basketball analysis, go to Ethan Skolnick's podcast, which I think is funny because Ethan Skolnick and Five on the Floor, they do a great show. But you also get Alf's eye test and Leif's gut check. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not pick and roll coverages. You know what I mean? This is funny.
Yeah, I mean, one of the bigger issues I have with Laker fans shit like that, they just act like the underdogs, which is just fucking outrageous.
The we believe Laker thing is ridiculous. Oh, I mean, come on, guys.
Stupid guys.
I can't.
It's like, you know, fucking Patriots fans are like that, man. And
yes.
Stomach. And like, it's fucking corny. And I think, you know, as Heat fans, it gets to be really obnoxious because we now have been on both sides of this.
We're corny too, though. We're annoying and we're corny. Let's own it.
But listen, man, we're fucking fun with it. Like, I think there's a seriousness to a lot of other, you know, Twitter crowds and shit like that for different teams. Like, I mean, Heat Twitter's just better than all of them. Like, I don't give a shit what you say. You're wrong.
I mean, I think I agree. Listen, I love Heat Twitter. We've changed though. We're not the same. We're not 2010 Heat Twitter. It's a different animal. Well, yeah, carried by Chef Trilly and Alf.
There was no cancel culture back then, so you could say whatever.
Oh yeah, listen. You know that kind of, not that it's an excuse, but like when I told poor Tim to drink bleach and everyone got mad at me, I was like, that was a perfectly acceptable thing to say in the Big Three era. We used to say worse things.
Well, I don't want you to drink bleach,
Johnny. I mean, come on.
I listen. We drink Mistolin down here. We don't drink bleach.
How have we gone like 30 minutes already and not shit on Mark Jackson? Because this guy is unbelievable.
That's why his only job is being a broadcaster, not being on.
he was somehow the worst like person at their job tonight.
Yeah.
Somehow he was worse than what Myers Leonard was.
Come on, leave Myers alone.
Myers cannot have no rebounds.
Come on.
Myers cannot have zero rebounds. Call yourself the hammer and get zero rebounds.
Oh my God, that's true.
You can't call yourself the hammer, be the tallest motherfucker on the floor and get zero rebounds while you stand for the anthem. You gotta get a rebound, man. Like, you gotta.
Although, shout out to him for donating $1,000 to the Nikias Foundation.
Shout out to Ryan, to Myers. I called him Ryan. Yeah. Shout out to Myers Leonard. But you got to get a rebound, dude. Come on. You're there to be big.
Not the name on the jersey. It's the number on the jersey, you know.
How many fouls did he have?
Is he 00? Is that his number?
No, I think he's just 10.
Is this 10? Because that's how many rebounds he had.
Yeah. One foul.
That's it?
In 9 minutes.
Come on.
I'm surprised nobody fouled out on the Heat.
They didn't foul a lot. They were really, I mean, Duncan was the closest.
No, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, chat makes a good point. Karmic Bead 7193 says Myers had zero rebounds after Alf called him the Heat's best defensive rebounder. That's the basketball analysis you get on Ethan Skolnick's podcast. That's what you want. That's what you want, Lakers Twitter.
You guys want to guess who was the leading rebounder outside of Kelly for Heat?
Jimmy.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you were going with. Jimmy, basically okay. The entire game. You're going with Kelly and Jimmy getting your rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if there's one thing that that Heat Twitter and Lakers Twitter can agree on, like, fuck Paul Pierce. And like his analysis, like he's been super fucking gloaty, this fucking perennial loser.
His team is home.
And yeah, and then but you know, he's saying like in the halftime show that you know, Jimmy, you know, I forget exactly what he said, but he was just like, you know, yeah, Jimmy needs to, you know, he needs to show more. He needs to, you know, like, are you shitting me? Like,
is Paul Pierce bad that Jimmy Butler might be a better player than him?
Might?
If Jimmy wins a title.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm putting Jimmy above fucking Pierce.
I mean, Paul Pierce is a really good player. I don't want to be slanderous, but listen. I got to be honest with you. If I had one game for my whole life, I'm going Jimmy over Paul. I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going Jimmy over the guy that shit himself in the literally shit himself in the
literally,
finals.
Literally
shit himself in the finals. Brass. Everybody's talking about Duncan shitting himself. Paul Pierce literally shit himself.
He's also just an asshole. Like, he's scoffing when Jay Williams talks about the Heat having to compete, and he's like chuckling and into the mic and shit. Like, shut the fuck up, Paul Pierce. You literally picked against this Heat team in every single series, and they've proven you wrong in every single series, and now they have two of their three best players out. And you're laughing at that, at the idea of them competing. Like, we're starting fucking Myers Leonard, and we were within nine.
And Kendrick Nunn.
With 6 minutes left. Like, shut up.
That was regular season starting lineup. Like, that was like, you know, a February in Charlotte lineup.
That was a pre-COVID lineup.
Well, it's really fucked up.
Not like, even, because we didn't even have Bam out there. So that wasn't even a pre-COVID lineup.
That's what I'm saying. That's a back-to-back in Charlotte, and like on a Tuesday in February. It's fan night on NBA TV. Do they still do fan night on NBA TV?
No, I don't think they did this year.
Not anymore, no. Damn, am I dated? Is that old?
Yeah.
I don't want to like rehash.
Remember we used to vote on fan night? I used to vote on fan night. I used to go vote.
I don't want
to
rehash like, you know, like all my Twitter takes and shit like that. But like, you know, on
that's what this podcast is for, Brass. We just rehash our old Twitter takes.
On Paul Pierce, like it's incredible to me. Like, out of all the people that have lost their jobs in the middle of a fucking pandemic, out of all those people, Paul Pierce still has a job because no one likes him. Right. I mean, he's just horribly bad. He has no analysis. He's not funny. I mean, I guess he's there as a punching bag, but he's not even good at that. He just sucks all around. And yeah, this fucking cocky. And it's also like ultra fucked up, and that he's like rooting for the fucking LeBron led Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just to play more. Can we play more sound?
Sit in for a second. Paul Pierce is rooting for the LeBron James led Los Angeles Lakers to win the series. I mean, I guess I appreciate his pettiness over Miami, but like, that's some coward shit, man. Like, he's yeah, fuck that guy.
Can you play more sound, Brass? I got another clip. This one's from Jimmy. Let's do it.
You have it loaded up?
I got it here.
This is going to be a great pod on.
Give you guys quite the speech. In the third quarter, I would repeat what he said, but I would be fined by the FCC. There was a pickup after that. What was the words? Can you repeat that he said? And what was the effect?
Play harder. Empty the tanks. That's what we have to do whenever we're down. Two stars like Bam and Gorn. Everybody got to lock in. We got to be, you know, three places at once. It's so hard to do. But we got guys that have to do it. That's what it's going to take to beat this team. That's what he said, play harder. That's what it's going to take for us to win a championship, play harder.
I thought that audio would be better.
Do I feel it affecting me? Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that we got to do it from a jump, though. It shouldn't take him telling us to do that, you know. But I like the way that we responded to it. But we got guys that when you tell them what it is, we normally respond, so maybe he should just start the game off cussing people out.
There you go. That's the clip there. That's the one.
The Spo one was better. I gotta be honest with you. Spo wins post game. Yeah, Spo wins post game audio for tonight. Spo wins. Chad's asking, what do you guys think we need to do with Duncan Robinson?
Yeah, we don't trade him now. I mean, it's not like he can trade him this year.
I think I think they mean in the series.
What you do with him, you just keep starting him and you hope that he gets a couple shots off like he kind of did towards the first quarter and he makes them. And if he doesn't, then you
that's
might.
That's what it is.
You just reduce his minutes. You couldn't reduce his minutes tonight because you had no one else on the floor.
See, no, I kind of disagree, Brian, because like it's a lot of it's really unfair because
you had Jimmy playing 45 minutes. I mean, who else were you going to give guard minutes to?
No, but what I'm saying is that like a lot of his offense is really predicated off the handoff stuff with Bam. And when so what the Lakers are doing is the big man that drops on those handoffs is now stepping up to Duncan, right? So he's playing rush because Alex Caruso's done a really good job of going over screens, and so has Rondo, and so has KCP. Like I'm really stressing that because that's been an absolute series changer for the Lakers. So they're doing a very good job of staying attached to Duncan when he comes off those screens. And then when that second guy comes up, even if the screen hits and it's a good screen, when the big man steps up, what Duncan was doing in game one before Bam got hurt, he was hitting Bam on that little short roll. And when you get Bam on the short roll, he can kick it to a shooter, he can just go to the basket, right? Without Bam, it gets tough because all of a sudden it's Myers Leonard and it's Kelly, and it's just not the same. And as good of a passer as Kelly is, he's not Bam, and he's a little frazzled because the Lakers are kind of making him play rush. I do think that they should run more movement. I'd maybe think that they shouldn't run the handoff stuff. Maybe they should run some staggered screen things that I haven't seen them run yet. I think that would be something good so they can kind of, and they did that a little bit against the Celtics, more so in the regular season game in the bubble.
They could have,
but it's just hard when they don't have a second big. Maybe they can have Jay and Kelly set a staggered screen and then him kind of get the handoff from that point. And even if you're kind of shifting him a little bit from the wing more to the top of the key as he runs his route, going to his left, I think he's a little better at that. I think that that's something you can do to get going. But I mean, got to give credit to the Lakers and what they're doing defensively. They have really keyed in, and every team this series, and again, that's huge on Duncan. They have game planned for him. They have either put their best defenders in that action. They have tried to take Duncan away, and this is his first year. It's okay. He's going to add stuff to his game. I don't think he'll be a threat off the dribble, but you know, as he becomes a better passer coming off those screens and everything, you know, that's going to get good and that's going to get better. And I really think that that's kind of what they can do.
He also gets no leeway from the refs. Like if he touches LeBron, it's a foul every single time.
Man, I'm not going to complain because, bro, that shit's reputation. And like we had LeBron, it was like that. And when we had Dwayne Wade, it was like that. And like we can sit here and bitch about the fairness of the calls, but like we know how the league is and we know the treatment that superstars get. And that's why you get a superstar, because they're just going to get the benefit of the doubt because they're good. And Duncan, it is what it is. I mean, I think he needs to be a little better. I don't think today was his best defensive performance. I mean, fouls aside, I just didn't think he was very good and very active. But I think, you know, it is what it is.
I think a better play is if he's gonna go and he's gonna be put on someone like LeBron or whatever. I think that he needs to just straight up hack some more. Like if you're gonna get called, like at least you know, show a little physical, you know.
I mean, chat's saying that like if he's not hitting shots, then he's not on the floor. I mean, yeah, that's kind of it. He wasn't. You know what I mean? Like they sat him in the fourth quarter pretty much. I mean, he didn't play. Tyler, I think, played the whole fourth quarter, and then they were kind of subbing in Jay and
James Jones
and Andre. So I mean, it, like James it, Jones, it kind of
right? I mean,
yeah, it's just no, he's better than James Jones. I mean, he's a mover.
If he's not knocking him down, he just takes him out, you know?
Yeah. It's just
we'd leave Luke Babbitt out there if he's hitting shots.
Game three is gonna be a fucking war. If they get Bam back, it's gonna be a war. If they win game three, it keeps their season alive. Game three is a burn the boat game. We have finally gotten to a burn the boat game in the playoffs. We have reached it. Game three. If Bam plays. I mean, if Bam doesn't play, I mean, it's going to be a fucking war. It's going to be a war. The Heat are going to give it everything they have. They're going to. I mean, it's not cutting time, right? This is what Heat in six or seven looks like, people. I thought they competed well without their best player. I don't know about you guys, chat.
They should have lost by 30. They lost by 10. I mean, what more can you want from this team?
When it was like 15 points in the second quarter, I'm like, ooh, this is going to be bad. And even the broadcast was like talking fucking doom and gloom. And the Heat really never got into the game like that. Like it was never, I don't think the Lakers were ever concerned. The Heat just kind of like made it so that you couldn't turn off the television.
Yeah, they hung around.
Yeah.
Which right. is kind of all you could have asked for them.
Yeah. Right? What more do you want?
It was like, it was a game kind of devoid of large runs. Really, I mean,
the Lakers had a few at the beginning.
In the beginning, but I mean, really, after that, it pretty much leveled out, and it never really got. I mean, I think
that's true.
15 or whatever at times, but like you know, they kept it. You know, the margin of error was pretty thin. But like, if you squinted and you watched Game One and Game Two, and you looked at the roster from Game One and Game Two, it should have been reversed. Really,
yeah.
It was a weird one, but game one was really fucking weird. That's why I didn't like walking away with game one with too much analysis, because like it didn't make any sense. And you couldn't really judge the entirety of the series on that because of, you know, sudden injuries to players. And this is the first game that Bam has missed in a couple years. And that sucks. To get to this point and for that to happen. But again, that's a fucking NBA and it happens. But like, I really do think I would be really, really shocked if Miami didn't take some games in the series. Like all
man, Press, this seems awesome. Like this fucking team's great. And like watching them, you know, like I felt a little sad at times watching the game. Cause I'm like, man, they're really just giving everything they have. And it's just not enough unless they're going to hit more threes. And you know, it was watching a Herculean effort that, you know, if you're not looking closely enough, you can't really see it. I mean, like what Jimmy's doing on every fucking possession, guarding, I've said it already in this podcast, guarding everybody from LeBron James to Anthony Davis, everything in between, switching, hedging, dropping, fighting over screens, fighting under screens, being everywhere, calling out passes, playing passing lanes. I mean, that dude did everything for 45 minutes.
On a bum fucking ankle.
On a bum ankle. And then on offense, it's like, I'm going to go to the rim every fucking time down the floor. I'm going to try to get as many fucking free throws as I can. I'm going to get as many of my teammates active because they can't, listen, they couldn't create their own shots. And Jimmy's like, I got you. Don't worry.
And you just know if this team's healthy, all these games are close. Every single one of these games are close down the stretch. You know it. Like that's what hurts the most, man. Like you just know it.
Pat Riley always said, it's like, you don't play for a championship. You play for a chance at one. Right. And it just kind of sucks that they got here and then the chance was really robbed from them.
Yeah.
You know,
that does suck, but like, but you got to put it in perspective, people. The going into the season, I think we all sort of agreed that if we make it to the second round, it's a success.
We said that all year.
All year. It's a success. Guess what? A, we swept the first round.
It doesn't feel good, Brass. It just doesn't. It doesn't feel good to watch. Yeah. That second quarter didn't feel good.
No, I'm aware of that. I'm just trying to put a little bit of perspective in people, because people act like this is like, no, this is our one finals chance. Like, no. This wasn't even that. This wasn't even our finals chance. But we got there by beating the fucking, you know, back-to-back MVP in five.
And Depoy.
And Depoy. And then we proved on a national stage once and for all that Spoelstra is an infinitely better coach than Brad Stevens. And you know, beat them in six. And then, you know, here we are. And yeah, injuries fucking blow. But like I would much rather be at this point now than losing to Milwaukee in round two. Like, what are we doing here?
The calculus is different, Brass, because they're here. It's just different. You know, Bucks Twitter's non-existent, right? Like, there's no Bucks Twitter to make fun of us. So if they lose, it's like, whatever, they lost. You know, they kind of like go into the night. You know, we live our lives. We live our off season. We do like a pod a week and we talk shit or whatever. We have, you know, guests on and we, you know, make fun of people and whatever. You know, it's different. There are stakes, you know. Now we're embarrassed on a national scale. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to beef with Lakers Twitter and them to be right. It doesn't feel good to have Alex Caruso run all around and make your life hell. Like, it doesn't feel good. Chat's right. We need some guts.
Yeah.
So what game does Bam put in that text message or call to Giannis saying, hey, we got an open slot?
He's going to Draymond it?
Yeah.
He's gonna Draymond it. I don't know. I mean, probably if they lose, it'd be that, or they win. Who knows? I'm just not saying the series is over, because if they win game three, we have a series, and then game four is a fight. And if even if they're down 3-1, it's a winnable series. This Laker team is not perfect. As good as AD and LeBron are, they're flawed. A lot of their warts showed tonight. I did think some of their half-court offense looked kind of clunky. I think that if the Heat have their best defensive player back in the rotation, it really helps them. I thought they had a solid game plan. I think if some couple things go right Miami's way, they can absolutely win game three. What are you laughing at?
I think we should end the show on this. So Nani Bui on a Twitch chat is saying that he knows the few Santereros and Hialeah. He thinks we'll be good next game.
That wasn't that funny.
I thought that was great.
You've been bad. You've tried to end the show on two straight jokes.
We're fucking over an hour. Let's just fucking end the show already.
No, you are not. You have been awful.
Johnny, I want to go to bed.
Also, for the record, I, on the fucking fly, was asked to play two clips of audio unprompted. I didn't even know I was going to be asked to do that tonight. And I did that fucking flawlessly.
Next man up mentality at Miami.
Next man up, baby.
Next man up. Remember to check out our YouTube page. If anybody ever misses any of the post game streams or anything in there, or a podcast, it's going to be on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/C/Miami Heat Beat. We link them all in the chat. Also, listen, Chad, I wasn't saying that your joke wasn't funny. I was just saying that Brian's delivery was bad. You can also check out our Discord server. We have that link below in the Twitch chat. If you're listening to our podcast or you're watching this on YouTube, it will be in the description. And if the link doesn't work, and sometimes it doesn't, just shoot me a message on Twitter and I will provide you with a link for Discord. We're having a lot of fun in there, especially in the finals. Man, we're in the fucking finals. Let's enjoy this as a community. We are having fun. Lakers Twitter, if you're out there, continue to hate me. I'm here for you. I'm sorry, Tim NBA. Again, you are a nice man. And follow our content. And listen, we're going to have fun until the end of this season. We are glad to share it with you. Follow all our things. Follow our Twitter account at Miami Heat Beat. Me at GNavas103. Brass at Brass Jazz. Brian at By Brian Goins. Alex, what's your Twitter at? You changed it already.
At Alex M. Solana.
It wasn't that before. It was like Ace Soul or whatever. So
yeah.
I keep it going. We will see you for game four. Maybe we might have a podcast in between. Maybe not. See you later, stream.